Welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for being with us today. And we have a very special guest on the show, Caroline McGillivray. She is the host of CITR's very own Sexy in Van City Radio. And she is also the founder of the wonderful and amazing Beauty Night Society, which is doing so much for women on the downtown east side, raising self-esteem and lots of great stuff that we're going to talk about today. So welcome to the show, Caroline.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Thanks for being with us. I wish you were here at the station, but we've got you over the phone.
Thank you. I wish so, too, if it wasn't so rainy, and I would be there in a heartbeat.
All right. Well, I want to talk about Sexy in Van City because it's a fab show, and I've been on it once before. But let's talk about the Beauty Night Society, first of all. How did you start the Beauty Night Society? What inspired you to create this vision?
It's going to sound terrible, but for purely selfish reasons, I was acting in a short film where I had to play a young sex worker drug user. So I started volunteering at a shelter in the downtown east side to do research because I wanted to do justice to the role. And when I went there, I found it to be true that the average age of entry to street life is actually 12 for girls, and it's 14 across the country. And as I got to know the women, heard their personal stories, I found that to be very true. And one night when I was there, one of the women was trying to do her hair, and she couldn't quite get her hands up to curl her hair. And I offered to do it for her because I couldn't stand watching her just trying so hard, not being able to do it. And afterwards, she gave me a huge hug, which got me thinking, if I can do this, what happens? You have people who actually know what they're doing. It could be pretty neat. And after that, I continued volunteering, did the film. And every time I showed up at the shelter, everybody kept asking me, hey, it's the beauty lady, and wanted me to go and do their hair and makeup. So before I got fired as a volunteer, I ended up getting a hold of the volunteer coordinator and told her I wanted to do a big beauty night, because by this point I'd realized it'd be really nice to have some people who knew how to do hair and makeup as opposed to me, who was trying really hard but wasn't the best at it. And we ended up, they said yes, and we ended up doing our first beauty night in December of 2000, and had 14 volunteers, ended up serving about 73 women at the time, so it was pretty awesome.
Wow. And so now what has Beauty Night expanded to?
Beauty Night's expanded a lot. In Vancouver, we've got three streams of programming. So we've got the original makeover, which she discovered is a great way to reintroduce touch to women who've experienced violence in a non-threatening way. We've got life skills development, and we've also got wellness, where we've got everything from acupuncture, yoga, journaling, our walk-run clinic for the seniors, which is really helpful, especially after they've eaten. It's good for digestion. Foot care, which we actually call pedicures, where they're actually screening for diabetes too. We have life coaches who volunteer, so we do a lot of vision boarding, a lot of balance wheels, and a lot of fun things.
Wow, amazing. So I imagine now, if many of these women have been working the streets since 12, 13, 14 years old, and they're adults now, that they're ability to reintegrate back into like a regular job or regular, what we might consider regular society, could be pretty difficult. But I'm wondering what kind of changes do you see happening in these women from the time that they first start coming to beauty nights and maybe a couple of years down the road? What sort of changes do you notice in them?
We noticed some big changes. It may sound weird, but just because I think people need to feel they belong to a community, it's really important for us. And so with that, when they feel they belong, we find that they connect with other service providers. One of my favorite things is the fact that so many of them ask if they can become volunteers. And so for many of the women, we actually do train them to become volunteers. And through that skill set they've developed, we've been able to refer them to other service providers to have them move forward. So it's been really great. Our demographics changed a lot in the last 10 years, too. We've been doing it where A third of our participants are still survival sex workers, and it is really challenging in terms of the job because they are dealing with all sorts of things, everything from homelessness, poverty, mental health is a big one, sometimes addiction, the violence is really prevalent, and sometimes debilitating illnesses, everything from cancer to HIV to hepatitis C. But it's been really great where we get to see these changes in the girls. And the fact that for some of them, just having them come in on a regular basis, like once a week, for some of them three times a week, other people even just once a month, and just that they know that they're welcome there is a huge, huge, huge accomplishment.
And so when they come in once a week or three times a week, so does Beauty Night take place? Does it have a regular location? And are you open all the time?
We are open 3 days a week, twice a week in the same location, and sometimes two to three other times a week we actually go to other shelters. So twice a week we're at Portland Hotel Society's Life Skills Center, and that's our home base where when the women come in, they can drop their children off for childminding. They can come in and get all the services, participate in some of the wellness and healthcare activities we've got, and our creation station, which is a fusion of arts, crafts, and literacy, and just to have a really good time and enjoy and feel safe.
Awesome. And so if people want to get involved, either volunteering or donating money, which I'm sure always comes in useful.
Money is always good.
How can they help?
They can always reach us at beautynight.org. And with that, in regards to with money right now, what we're trying to do is raise money so that we can hopefully hire three new facilitators so we can actually reach. Because what we've noticed in the last little bit is we get more and more calls from other organizations that we partner with where they'd like to have us in more often. And we'd like to meet that need. And by doing that, we do need to increase by training more people in leadership roles because we do have over 400 volunteers, which is fantastic. But we've only got 1.5 staff. So one full-time, one part-time. So.
Wow. Yeah, you need some more staff. Okay, so people, send in some money, beautynight.org. And you also have a fundraising campaign that's going on that's really interesting and motivational. So tell us a little bit about what that is.
Well, our mission is to build self-esteem and change lives. So we kind of wanted to do that where people chose to do that. And what they can do is they pick a personal goal. And whatever that goal is, they ask their friends and family to support them, and they collect pledges because they can create a online pledge sheet and ask people to pledge. And through that, they're making a huge change in their own life, and as well as that, that money gets donated to Beauty Night, so we can actually make changes in lives of many women.
And you're running a marathon or something? Is that your goal?
I wish I was running a marathon. I'm doing a 10K run.
That's not a marathon?
No, it's only 10K. Oh. I wish I was doing a marathon. I'm doing 10K, which for me is huge. I grew up where I grew up doing ballet where I was actually not allowed to run as a child. I don't think I've ever run before this more than half a block without dying. Wow. If I was running for a taxi or something like that. So it's actually been really, really great doing something that actually kind of freaked me out in a lot of ways because as a child, I was always warned that I was going to end up injuring like my knees, my hips, my lower back from impact and wouldn't be able to do ballet. So I was really cognizant of that.
And so now you are going to be running a 10K. So when are you running and how much can you run now?
Right now, if running straight, I can actually do 7K. And if I'm doing 5 minutes running, 1 minute walking, I can actually do the full 10.
Wow.
So it's been pretty exciting. So I'm hoping by closer to Sun Run Day, which is April the 17th, that I'll be able to spend more of that running than just walking. So it's quite exciting.
So if people want to get involved in this challenge, so just pick a goal, whether it's a weight loss goal, a fitness goal, quitting smoking. What are some of the goals that people are reaching for in this campaign right now?
We've had everything from people wanting to do a yoga challenge where they're committing to going to yoga class once a week. We've had other people, one of my volunteers is going vegan.
Wow.
And so for her, it's been quite neat. And I've got another volunteer who is actually learning sign language because somebody really close to her and her family actually has gone deaf recently. So with that, she's learning sign as well, which she thought would be helpful just for moving forward. And so she's almost right through the entire alphabet so far, and she's trying to learn 200 words.
And so that's awesome. And so how long is this campaign going for? If someone signs up today, how long do they have to reach their goal?
We're asking people to try for 6 weeks because it usually takes about 6 weeks to change a habit.
Okay. And then, so if they want to get involved and sign up, how does it work? They go on the website and they say, this is my goal. So, and then you tell everyone about it and they make pledges. And then I guess you only get the money if they reach their goal?
It's through CanadaHelps.org, which Canada Helps has where you can create a giving page. And so when you sign in to create your own giving page, it will ask you, of course, to sign up for an account. And then you can pick which charities that you'd like to donate to. And we're just asking people to pick Beauty Night for it.
Wonderful. So again, the website is?
That is CanadaHelps.org.
CanadaHelps.org. And is there information about it on BeautyNight.org?
There is. There is a link there as well.
Great.
Awesome.
Awesome. Okay. Well, it's time for a quick break. We are speaking with Caroline McGillivray. She is the host of CITR's very own Sexy in Van City radio show, and she's also the founder of the Beauty Night Society. So if you want to get involved and help out, you want to volunteer and help these amazing women living on the downtown east side to experience loving touch and to feel beautiful and special for the night, then you can go to beautynight.org. Or if you just have a whack of cash that you want to send them, go to beautynight.org as well. So this is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. You might also be listening online at citr.ca, cosmicdimensions.com, empowerradio.com, or on the fabulous co-creator network. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks for being with us today. And this is Synchronicity. We'll be back in a moment.
What do you think the internet should be? Fast? Open? Reliable? A network that is diverse, free, and allows an equal exchange of ideas? This point of view is often challenged by monopolies in the media, as well as by decisions made on issues such as internet openness and usage-based billing. Without question, these decisions have an immense impact on consumers, socially and economically. Let's admit it, the internet has become an essential part of our lives. That's where we come in. OpenMedia.ca is here to ensure that the decisions regarding the internet are fair and citizen-friendly. OpenMedia.ca is a national, nonpartisan, nonprofit organization. We advocate for a media communication system that adheres to the principles of access, choice, diversity, innovation, and openness. Our organization provides resources for volunteer organizers, collaboration tools, and leadership development. We engage, we educate, we empower. For more information, visit openmedia.ca, saveournet.ca, or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Last night, I left the bar. I was thirsty, and I don't drink wine. I was desperate. I needed blood. I turned to the only place I could. The only place that could possibly help me.
Hello, Canadian Blood Services.
Hello. I need some blood. A. Positive or negative, it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, we're all out of A positive and negative. Would you like some O instead?
No. No, that won't do. Thank you. Good night. Save me. Save yourself. Give blood. Voluntarily.
This message was brought to you courtesy of the Canadian Blood Services and CITR Radio 101.9 FM.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. And this is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. We're speaking with Caroline McGillivray. She's actually a host of another talk show here at CITR called Sexy in Van City. But right now we are speaking about her charity, the Beauty Night Society, which has been around since, what, 2000, did you say?
2000.
Geez, so it's like 11 years old.
It's actually, we just celebrated our 10 year, which I'm looking forward to just moving forward. It will be great. So
awesome.
Yeah, it's exciting.
So let's talk more about Beauty Night. So there's pedicures, and so it sounds like everything that you're doing, I mean, it's, I get the impression that some people out there might think, well, you know, why would I donate money so that these ladies can get like a makeover? I mean, what do I care about that? How's that helping society in any way? So what does it actually do when these women get these services?
When the women get these services, first of all, most of the women are actually not comfortable being touched because a lot of them have dealt with a lot of violence, like just horrific things. And so getting them to come in and actually allowing them, like where they're able to actually get pampered, is huge. Like, I think all of us can relate to how good it feels when we are getting pampered. But even more importantly, it's part of being a community, because I think women who have experienced negative touch, actually men and women, anybody who has, it tends to isolate us on some level where we don't feel we deserve, we blame ourselves. And we don't feel sometimes that there are changes. So a lot of the women that we do deal with actually won't leave that 6-block radius of the downtown east side just because they don't feel they deserve to move past that. And so by creating a space where they're able to come in just as they are, be accepted, where they're able to make friends with other women and learn some skills. And from there, for some of them who do become volunteers, they're able to become leaders in their own community. Last year actually was a pretty trippy year where I was nominated for a Woman of Worth Award. And what was really special about that was one of our old participants, Jennifer Allen, was actually nominated in the same category as me. Mm. And I was over the moon about that, because we actually put her through a basic makeup program when she was dealing with addiction and was dealing with homelessness in the downtown east side. And through that experience, by becoming part of learning the skill set and being able to connect her with organizations to help her with addiction services, we were able to get her clean and sober. And not only that, she started doing makeovers for women on the east side in exchange for money and food. And through that, was actually able to start her own organization called Jen's Kitchen, where she actually feeds survival sex workers on the stroll. Jen's now been clean and sober for over 8 years, and she's now working as an outreach worker at the YWCA when she's not doing her charity project. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to have more Jennifers. So it's quite exciting.
Wonderful. And so, you know, some people are listening to this show online, so they may be in other parts of the country or the world. And so we're talking about the downtown east side, because everyone in Vancouver knows that the downtown east side is this very sad place. I mean, the HIV rate is what, equal to some places in Africa where they have really high HIV rates?
And it's dubbed the poorest day neighborhood in North America.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, not worse than L.A., worse than anywhere. Very, very poor neighborhood. You walk down the street and you'll see people shooting up in alleys and people turning tricks in alleys.
You can read the bad date sheet where, for some of these women, it's horrific, just some of the things that they deal with, things like being beaten up by guys who look like Santa Claus, being gang raped. One of the key things perhaps might be of interest, where when we first started Beauty Night, I had a massage therapist come out to volunteer, and none of the women wanted to get massaged. And when I actually asked them why, it turned out it's because so many of them had actually been grabbed by the throat and dragged into the bushes and gang raped.
Oh my God.
That the concept of anybody actually standing behind them actually terrified them. And so it's a really neat mindset, and I hope nobody ever has to go through that, because I know for the women we work with, it's not a fun place. And being able to teach them to build hope, to build trust that things can change, it's huge. And that starts with accepting them where they are now, because self-esteem is so low.
Amazing. And so I would imagine that some women, like this woman who was nominated for the award, I would guess she's now moved out of the downtown east side.
She finally did, but again, this has been an 8-year process, and she was living in the downtown east side right up until about 2.5 years ago, I believe. We finally got where she's finally making enough money so she could move to the West End. Because up until that point, it was almost, and I found for a lot of people who are dealing with addiction, sometimes they really want to make amends, they want to give back, and I believe that's one of the 12 steps for the 12-step program where they want to, and so sometimes it's easier for them to stay in their community as they do that. Mm-hmm. And so it takes a really long time with that healing for them to finally say, okay, I'm ready to move on completely. Because if you imagine being there since you're 12 years old, you've got all your friends, you've got your family, good or bad, that's what you've got. And the downtown east side is much, with as much poverty and crime, there's a lot of really strong sense of community where I've seen people where they've come in because they need meal and they need to eat and they're crying and somebody else who hasn't eaten for 3 days will go and feed them. Like it's quite truly amazing, just a huge testament to the human spirit that we can survive through a lot of different things.
That's amazing, because you expect that when people are living in that kind of poverty and danger all the time, and I mean, let's face it, the downtown east side is not a pleasant place to visit.
No.
You expect the worst of humanity to come out. But really, the people down there are very friendly and open, and
it really is a community within itself, mm-hmm. which is really nice, actually. It really is, and like you said, it is where you expect it to be, really scary, really uncomfortable. I know before I started volunteering down there, sometimes I'd walk on the opposite side of the street because I was a little bit apprehensive, a little bit scared. I didn't know how to deal with it. And once you get to know people, they're lovely. It's just that a lot of times they don't believe change is possible. And they know full well because they see people walk on the opposite side of the street when they, you know, when they see them coming. And what does that do to a person? I think it makes somebody makes them believe that nobody's ever going to accept them as who they are, which is why it's so important in terms of in terms of measuring their health, in terms of sense of community, because by making them feel safe, like even when we, years ago, the very first Papalooza, which is an event where they get street women in to get pap tests, because in 2002, the street nurses in the downtown east side noticed a huge increase in syphilis, but couldn't get the women in to get tested. So they asked us to come in to do a beauty night for what they called Papalooza. And they had all sorts of other things, music, etc. And with that, they ended up getting a lot of the women coming in. We had over 150 women show up for the event. It was kind of crazy. Wow. And very fun. And they had quite an extensive amount of women actually coming and staying to go and get a pap test, because pap tests aren't that comfortable to start with, but you do need to have one every year. And for women who are in compromised positions, sometimes it's really important that they take care of their health. But a lot of times, because of their history of the negative touch of sexual violence, they don't want to be touched in that way, even though they know logically it's for their health.
Well, yeah, I mean, even a woman who hasn't experienced that kind of touch is not, it's not a fun thing to go to the doctor. It's very vulnerable position to be in. So I can imagine. And especially if you're not used to taking care of your health. And
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's amazing. So are you going to do that every year then?
We actually do it every 3 months now, even though it's not part of the big Papalooza. We actually have the street nurse come in, and she loves it because of the fact beauty night's going on. She's actually got a full roster the entire time, so it's quite neat. So far this year, we've had her come in. She usually comes in every 4 months, so then that way we can kind of touch the women right through. We found if we did it more than that or less than that, it was either she'd get overwhelmed or not enough people. But that seemed to be a happy balance. We've also brought in the tuberculosis nurses, because in certain parts of the downtown east side, TB is just as prevalent as it is in third world countries. It's quite horrific. So with that, it's really great to be able to do the testing. So they've come in as well. We're also trying to partner with the Heart and Stroke Foundation to do blood tests as well, a blood pressure. And we've had the UBC kinesiology students coming in as well and doing some fitness testing for the women.
Wonderful.
It's been really great. Well, we've been able to, I think it comes down to, in terms of the word beauty, going back to your question before, where in regards to beauty, it depends what you define beauty as. And to me, I define beauty as being confident and being healthy in body, mind, and spirit. And that starts with believing in yourself. And I think all of us in this world, we struggle with that from time to time. And in terms of sexual violence, according to Amnesty International, 1 in 3 women worldwide have dealt with sexual violence before the age of 18. It just happens to be a lot higher in the downtown east side.
Mm-hmm. All right, Caroline, well, it's time for a break, and we are speaking with Caroline McGillivray. She is the founder of the Beauty Night Society here in Vancouver, helping women, marginalized women on the downtown east side, to regain their sense of self-esteem and experience positive, loving physical touch, which is a lot different than what many of them, most of them, are used to. So we will be back with more Synchronicity. Oh, and if you want to get involved with Beauty Night, send them some money or volunteer, beautynight.org is their website. This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. You're listening to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we'll be back in a moment.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
I'm gonna be round my vegetables. I'm gonna chow down my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable.
Sprouts. It's your 75-cent coffee fix in the sub.
It's your source for reasonably priced, creatively named stew and vegan brownies.
It's your purveyor of bicycle-delivered local produce.
It's also a place where volunteers can realize their vision of responsible business and where like-minded students can explore UBC's food systems.
Hark! Sprouts is currently accepting applications for next year's executive board and is encouraging ambitious, creative, and disciplined students from all faculties and year levels to apply.
Come by Sprouts in the sub-basement to learn more about our projects and how to get involved.
I tried to kick the ball, but my tennis flew right off. I'm red as a beet, 'cause I'm so embarrassed.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul here on CITR 101.9 FM. In Vancouver, today's guest is Caroline McGillivray. She is a local CITR talk show host. She's the host of Sexy in Van City, and she's also the founder of the Beauty Night organization. You can find them online at beautynight.org. Welcome back to the show, Caroline.
Thank you.
Hi, thanks for hanging out today. It's so good to have you on the show. I haven't seen you since for a while.
I actually don't think since you were on my show.
Yeah, and I saw you at one of the CITR meetings, but other than that, and then we did the Pride Parade thing, but you were there and I was here.
That's true, but that was the first time I actually got to sort of meet you besides the meeting, so
yeah.
We work well together, which is awesome. So one of these days I have to have you on to host as well and co-host with me, because that will be super fun. So.
Ooh, sexy, okay. I like after, what time, is after 10?
It's after 10 o'clock.
So you can talk dirty on the radio?
Yes, you can. I've actually had guests swear as well, so, and it's okay, which is kind of neat.
I like that. I get a kick out of saying naughty things on the radio late at night.
Your listeners are going to have to tune in and hear you. So.
They'll never hear it here on Synchronicity, so you've got to tune into Sexy in Van City. So before we start talking about Sexy in Van City, do you have anything else that you'd like to add about Beauty Night?
You know, I actually do have one other thing that I did want to mention, just in regards to the fact that it's not about beauty. It is about reintroduction of touch. And some of your listeners may be familiar as well that a lot of, in regards to touch, that they've done a lot of extensive research where if babies aren't touched, that they'll die. And with women who have ended up in correctional facilities, 90% of them have actually experienced sexual violence before the age of 18. Because I know when I found out the stat about the babies, it made me question, well, what happens to people who've dealt with negative touch? And it really does profoundly affect their behavior. And there's actually a lot of research that backs it, too. And so that's one of the ways of bridging that, where it's making them feel comfortable, making the women feel safe, or men, because men do deal with sexual violence as well. So that was one of the points I did want to mention with that. And then the second thing that is the benefit with us as well is, this may sound like a weird thing, but in the last little while, I've noticed there's been a few articles in just in regular print media that in regards to sometimes people not telling their doctors what's actually wrong because of the fact they feel that they don't have good bedside manner. And what I've gotten, because we get a lot of med students, healthcare students who actually do volunteer for us, and even CHIAS, which is the community health initiative by university students, actually just asked us if we could give them a hand with their volunteer training, because the way we train our volunteers is by creating safe spaces for people, as regardless whether or not they've dealt with sexual violence or not, always going with creating safe spaces. And we do a lot of Harville Hendrix, his listening exercises, which Harville Hendrix is the man who's written Receiving Love, which pretty much every dating coach, every cognitive therapist who works with people in relationships usually cites his work on a regular basis. And I found my volunteers, is not only has it benefited in their practices and in their beauty salons, it's also made them better actually just in terms of their relational health as well. So it's actually been really beneficial.
Amazing. Well, I love that that med students are volunteering, because that is such an important thing. You think that people who go into the medical field are healers and loving, but really they're coming at it from a standpoint of being a scientist, mm-hmm. first and foremost. And so they don't always have a very good bedside manner, and they're not always very caring and compassionate. So it's wonderful to see that you're able to help train these med students that are going to be out in the community serving to be more compassionate.
Thank you. It's been really exciting. We actually just put in a application actually just for, I think it's being held at UBC actually for the Arts and Medicine Conference, just because of the fact what the way we're teaching in terms of wellness and healthcare is completely different than how a lot of other organizations do. So it's exciting.
Yay.
In terms of promoting health and wellness for women. So
beautynight.org is the website if you want to volunteer or you want to send some money their way. Always needing money.
Thank you.
Money's a good thing. Send it. Even if it's just $5. I mean, if 50 people sent in $5, that'd be what, $250? My math is not that good. But anyway.
Mine isn't either, but I think it could be that, which would be really wonderful.
Yeah, so wonderful. Send them some money, whatever you can afford, and then if you want to get involved in this challenge, what's the name of the campaign again?
It's called I Change the World.
Wonderful. I Change the World. And so that's a campaign where you set a goal for 6 weeks, and then you get your friends and family to pledge donations on your behalf, and you reach towards this goal, whether it's being vegan, going to yoga more often, running a marathon, losing 20 pounds, stopping smoking, whatever it is, you can do it. And how do they sign up for that again?
They can go to kennethelps.org and set up a giving page, and there's some information on the beautynight.org account on how to do that.
Canada Helps?
CanadaHelps.org.
Or go to beautynight.org and then you'll find more information. Okay, so let's talk about sexy in Van City. And how does, it's interesting because we talk about, you think that a show about sex would be kind of raunchy, and I'm sure it gets kind of raunchy, but what is your perspective when you're coming at this? What is your viewpoint? What are you wanting to accomplish through your show?
Through the show, you're going to laugh, but I actually see it more as an Oprah for nighttime in a lot of ways, because I found I used to host Juice Box Radio with Julia Saunders, who's truly incredible, who when she left the show because of the fact she gave birth to a baby a couple of years ago, I ended up getting a new show. and with that was sexy. And one of the things I found when we were just doing a pure sex show was the fact that there were a lot of other key components as to why people weren't happy in their sexuality. And a lot of times it had to do with self-esteem, had to do with a lot of relational work. And so with that, I ended up expanding Sexy and Van City, because if you don't feel confident, confidence equals sexy, it's really difficult to have a happy, healthy relationship.
That is so true. And so let's talk about some of the things, some of the themes of Sexy in Van City.
Well, we've had everything from, for example, last week we actually had a huge discussion about just the surge of online dating, online just networking in general, where there's some people who don't really understand the value of it. And one of the key things that we discussed on the show was the fact that it's still about communication. It's just a tool to communicate if you're using Twitter, if you're using Facebook or LinkedIn. All those things are very important, but you still need to know what to say. So it's really neat. So I've had everything from that to my friend Kate Hudson on, who has a company called Try Sweet Talk, where she'll actually sit down with somebody and create their online profile for them, because she used to work in advertising.
Wow.
And a lot of people, because of self-esteem, and especially if they've just gotten out of a relationship where they don't feel very good about themselves, sometimes it's really difficult for them to write an online profile. So that's one of the things she does, where she said it's actually really one of her favorite parts of her job is after somebody has given her all the information, she'll do 250 words up for their profile about who they are. And they get really excited where it's like, yeah, I guess I am kind of cool. Because I think sometimes as human beings, we tend to be self-deprecating in a lot of ways.
Wow, I'm internet dating right now.
Are you? How's that going for you?
It's a gong show. I'm having a lot of fun, actually. Everyone I've met has been really nice so far.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't found any keepers yet, but it's been an interesting experience. But I feel like there's good things and bad things about internet dating. If you want to meet a lot of people, it's a great thing. But I also think that a lot of, I don't know about the women, I'm sure it's the same for the women, but for the guys, it seems like they're shopping at, I don't know, Walmart for girls or what, Walmart for women. And they just keep communicating with all these people, even if they've met someone really nice.
I think there's something about that, just in the nature of the beast. And I think part of it depends on which ones you're on. I know I think it's called TriCupid is supposed to be really quite good. Actually, Julia Saunders, my old co-host, actually met her husband on that.
Oh, wow.
And that one I've heard really good things from a few of my friends who have actually found long-term partners on that. eHarmony, I found, did not work for me, but has worked quite well for other people as well, because they ask a lot of personality questions, because I think the bottom line is, and you're right, it is like shopping, where it's about what do you see, and you get 90% of your information from what you see. 97%, according to Margot Denilis, who does the Amazing Woman's Weekend, and 3% from what you hear. So online, it really is like shopping, where you're on Amazon.com or something like that. Click, 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 click. Oh, this is kind of cool. I kind of want to be reading this book at this time. Oh, I guess I could read this one as well.
Yes, all of these books.
I think why I like the eHarmony, for example, even though it didn't work for me personally, it was really interesting because they ask you so many questions. So it actually helps establish, even if you're not quite as familiar yourself yet, as to what your value systems are and what the other person's value systems are, because sometimes people don't always know exactly how to put that in words. And with that, they actually match you with people based on how you answer those questions. So it can be subjective based on how you answer them. But I think if you're being really authentic when you're answering them, there's more chances that you'll find somebody that might be a better fit.
Interesting. I'm on the gong show of all dating sites.
Oh, plenty of fish. Sorry.
It's fun, though.
I've been there, done that, and yeah. I ran.
There's and it's difficult because I don't know. I think we're maybe getting a little bit off topic, but I've just been living this for the last couple of months, just dating like a revolving door of these guys from online.
And it's difficult because some of them are really cute. I
hear a big but.
Well, because you're dealing with mainly visual because you're online, mm-hmm. you tend to go for the people who are the cutest, which it's nice to have someone cute, but it would also be nice to have someone who's like, you know, healthy emotionally and all of that. And mm-hmm. so I've yet to find that in a cute package.
It's challenging, I think. And I think you are doing the right thing in terms of, I know it sounds horrible, but with the revolving door, but I think you are doing the right thing where you are meeting them. It's sounding like, anyway, that you're meeting them fairly quickly, which is good, so you can kind of streamline. Because, again, online is just a way to meet people, but it's a matter of, like, when you meet them, is there chemistry? Do they have the same value systems? Are they funny? All those things. And it does take time to find the right package, just as it does when we meet people face-to-face.
Exactly. Well, and I like that, because I've met a few. I've dated, like, about 15 guys in the last couple of months. And mm-hmm. if I wasn't online, I probably would have taken me a year to date all those guys.
Yes and no, because with that, I think it depends. Are you still going out and doing things that you love?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I'm not just going out on a date every night.
Okay. Sometimes people do that, so you never know. But what I was just going to ask is if there's anything that you've ever really wanted to try and haven't tried yet.
I don't know. I'm pretty good at trying things.
Okay, which is good. Because I'm just thinking in terms of just connecting. So, just connecting with people offline. So whether or not it's like, for example, I know you've got a huge Twitter following as an example. I know, for example, the YVR Festival last week, which they actually raised over $8,000 for Beauty Night, which
was
amazing.
Awesome.
It was awesome. I was so happy. But it was really cool to meet all these people that I've chatted to online and actually meeting them face to face. And for those listeners out there who may not be familiar with what Twestival is, over 200 cities around the world actually participated, where they pick a local charity and they invite everybody. So it's like a big tweet up where all these Twitterers come together and mingle, and it's usually drinks, etc. And it was quite fun.
Awesome. That sounds like a really good time. Well, I should look for tweet ups.
They can be really cool. I'll send you stuff as well, because sometimes with that I found there's some really authentic, really cool people. Yeah, and it's the same as any other gathering too, where it was kind of nice though, where you get to meet the online people offline, and it's not quite so freaky.
In a group, it's safer, right?
It is. There is safety in numbers. Yeah. There definitely is. And it's nice, too. And I always figure it's kind of like one of those things when I go to a cocktail party or something like that, or a networking event. If I can have at least one meaningful conversation with one person, I've done my job. Like, that's usually what I kind of try and do, and just really connect with at least one person. If I get more than that, I mean, that's gravy. But I find sometimes with networking, you'll see people who have, like, say, 30 business cards, and they try and hit every single person in the room. And I go home and I open my purse and I look at it, and it's like, okay, well, who is this person again?
Yeah.
It's kind of like in the old days before everybody had business cards, where you go to the bar and you'd have all these people end up sending you all these, you know, just have all these phone numbers. And it's like, okay, who did I meet? So. Where you want to make sure it's authentic. So, which sometimes with that, it can be really fun.
So let's, speaking of Twitter, what is your Twitter for Beauty Night?
For Beauty Night, it's at Beauty Night.
Wonderful. At Beauty Night. And you're also on Facebook for Sexy in Van City, as well as the Beauty Night Society. And if you just punch in Beauty Night Society,
it will pull it up, bet, because we've got the fan page as well. And on Twitter, I'm also at Sexy in Van City, which one of these days I will do a fan page for that.
Yay. Okay. So before we go to a break, I want to talk more about Sexy in Van City, because we kind of started talking about the whole dating thing, because it's just like on my brain all the time. I actually have a date right after the show.
Do you really? I want to know more about this, so I don't know if you're going to tweet me, in case, but if he's online, maybe not. Is
he's
he listening?
Really, really cute. Like, yeah, but I think that's... Well, I don't want to say anything negative, but I have to see if there's anything other than the very nice exterior.
And you know what? Fair enough, because even though we get 97% of our information from what we see, 3% from what we hear, it comes down to, in terms of basic chemistry, that comes down to whether or not you're going to have a good baby together. It's that comes right down to your pheromones.
Well, he'd make a nice baby. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So, but as far as Sexy in Van City, what other sort of, because I like that you have this spiritual slant to your show. So what are some of the sexy topics that you discuss that are a little more spiritual?
We've had everything from Tantra, where we've had Kim and Ananami, who's actually, she is doing a workshop this weekend, and I'm just trying to remember where, but as an example, we've had her on the show. We've had all sorts of things. We've had acupuncture in terms of just balancing out your body, because sometimes it may be hormonal. I've had Dr. John Gray on the show, who wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and his more recent book is Venus on Fire, Mars on Ice, and that is about just sometimes things not going so great because of hormonal. And it's interesting because most relational people that I have on the show usually recommend having a breath practice. So if you're not doing yoga, at least doing meditation, so it really keeps you in your body. And to me, that's really, really important. And it's interesting because it's regardless whether they're teaching Tantra, whether or not they're teaching even some of the psychologists who are taught on. It's quite fascinating, where it's just because I think we really are in a fast-paced world, and it's so important for us to just slow down, really. You know that whole thing about smelling the flowers? It really is breathe and really stay in your body. And it's interesting because that message just tends to come through more and more. And taking that time, and I found almost everybody has a slant with that. So that tends to be a really key thing about the breath work is number one. The other thing, too, is really understanding your value systems in terms of not just for spirituality, but just for life in general, and really knowing what those values are, because that's really important, because the pretty face is the pretty face. But if the value systems don't match, pretty face is just for fun and for longevity. You want to make sure that you have similar value systems where they complement each other, at least if they're not exactly the same.
Exactly. Beautifully said. Well, it's time for a break, and then we just have a few minutes left in the show. So if there's anything else you want to say about Beauty Night or Sexy in Van City, get it all ready, Caroline. We are speaking with Caroline McGillivray. She is the founder of the Beauty Night Society, helping marginalized women on the downtown east side to reconnect with healthy touch and to raise their self-esteem. It's a wonderful program. If you want to get involved, beautynight.org is their website. And if you're interested in something a little more risque in the evenings, you can listen to her talk show, Sexy in Van City. When is that happening?
That is at 10 o'clock on Wednesday nights for an hour long of chat.
Woohoo. All right. So 10 p.m. on Wednesday evenings right here on CITR. We'll be back with more Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul in just a moment.
The AMS Sexual Assault Support Center offers support services to survivors of sexual assault and other forms of violence, as well as their friends, family members, and partners. They are committed to education and the support of students, staff, faculty, and visitors of all genders. They offer counseling, accompaniments, information, and referrals. They also facilitate specialized workshops and training sessions, develop public education campaigns, and hold special events related to anti-violence work. All services are free and confidential. For more information on programs and services or on volunteer opportunities, visit their website, www.ams.ubc.ca/sasc.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver at the University of British Columbia in the Student Union Building. And coming up in just a few minutes is Parts Unknown, so stick around for that. Right now we're speaking with Caroline McGillivray. She is the founder of the Beauty Night Society. BeautyNight.org is that website. And if you also want to listen to her lovely, sexy voice talking about sex and sexuality on Wednesday nights at 10 p.m., that is also here on CITR 101.9 FM, Sexy in Van City. So welcome back to the show, Caroline.
Thank you.
Hello. So I'm going to play a song before we end the show. So I'm just wondering if there's anything that you'd like to add either about Beauty Night or about Sexy in Van City.
I think the big thing I want love to give for everybody as a takeaway is really be true to yourself. I know that may seem weird. And with Beauty Night, Beauty Night's been a really big thing. And if you're looking at starting Beauty Night in your own city, we are looking for, by 2013, to start expanding more because we're in Prince George. And if anybody's listening from Prince George, we are doing one for Mother's Day and need some more help there. Toronto, we're doing as well. But the bottom line is, the way I figured is, if I can do this, anybody can do it. And I fully encourage all of you out there to really think about something that you really want to do, something that makes you feel really good. And maybe that thing that makes you feel really good just might change the world. And wouldn't that be really cool to do? And I just encourage you, just jump and do it. And if you want to, email me at beautynight.org and let me know how it goes. I'd really love to find out.
Oh, yay. And that would be awesome. So because we have people listening from all over the world, so if the idea of a beauty night in your community sounds exciting, go to beautynight.org and contact Caroline, and she can discuss it with you for 2013, or maybe even earlier if enough of you donate money, right?
Exactly. Thank you.
Yay. Okay. Is there anything you'd like to add before we close the show?
I think that's everything, other than I'll have to have you on my show very soon. So
thank you. We can talk about my dating. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, we can talk about it, because actually, when I used to write my column for Urban Trends, used to do that, actually, where it was bugging all my friends who were dating so I could live vicariously through them. So,
well, I'm happy to, and I have a lot of interesting stories. I actually started a blog, but it's very private and it's very candid. So I'll invite you to it, but I'm not going to give out the name on the show because it's a lot
personal
of information.
At this stage.
Yeah, it's very personal.
And they can read the book when you published it.
Exactly. All right. Well, thanks so much for being on the show, Caroline. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
So that was Caroline McGillivray. Again, she is the host of Sexy in Van City here on CITR, Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. and also the founder of the Beauty Night Society. Again, if you want more information about them, go to beautynight.org. So coming up in a couple of minutes is Parts Unknown. I'm Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for being with us today. Wish me luck on my date. It's our second date, and I probably shouldn't be talking about it on the radio, but I don't think he listens to this show, so it's all good. Anyway, I'm going to play you a song by the lovely Surya, who is a local Vancouver artist, just beautiful and amazing, and we'll have to have her on again very, very soon. We'll be back next week, 12 p.m. Pacific, right here on CITR for another episode of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I hope that you have an amazing week. Be well, and like Caroline said, be true to yourself, because if you can't be true to yourself, then who can you be true to? So have a wonderful day, and be well. Have a wonderful week. Take care. Bye.
Chidananda Parabrahma.